Shaw was looking for something. Something that did not want to be found. Something that could lose itself. Something harmless on the outside, yet of terrible and awesome power within. Shaw was looking for a book. He hated even the notion that such an object had this much of a hold on him. Since the book had brought him back, he owed it a debt, and this deal was signed and sealed in blood. The book offered him his life in exchange for a task not yet revealed to him, and if the book could bring him back, maybe it could bring back his wife as well. He stared east across the valley, its mighty flow raging south until it broke against the bone-bottom crags many leagues away. The valor was much like the book, cold and absolute in the middle, yet peaceful at its borders. "Where are you?" Shaw mouthed. A light throb on his left forearm indicated a snide remark from the demon imprisoned within was imminent. Shaw pulled back his sleeve to examine it.
"Perhaps it is at the bottom of the river. Why not swim for it?"
A shrill, disembodied voice replied in his head. Shaw shifted his gaze away from the froth and rolling waves to the cracks of the shallow dock and into the river below.
"Perhaps it's still in the far east. That last king's guardsman thought so," he spoke aloud. "He told you what you wanted to hear. We cannot rely on the word of a dying man."
"But we can rely on the word of a living demon?" Shaw questioned, somewhat taken aback by his own retort.
Was this demon considered alive? He examined the three rubies embedded in his arm. Inside the center ruby, a magpie with too many eyes stared back at him. The gems pulsed again, this time painfully.
"You imprisoned me, but I am the one you say cannot be trusted?"
The magpie hopped back and in a swirl of red dust disappeared. The gems resumed their usual amber glow. His own face stared back at him. He breathed deep and rolled down his sleeve. Turning on his heels, he walked back towards town, leaving the valor raging and frothing behind him. The shallow dock was a testament to his quest, empty and bare. He opened up his stride and pulled his hooded tunic over his head, disguising himself. On the fringe, swarming with refugees, thieves, outlaws, beggars, and the discarded, hiding one's own face was expected. His footsteps fell heavily on cobblestone as he left the dock and pushed through the crowded side street. The sound of the river faded as the sound of trade and commerce steadily rose. When he arrived at the center of town, the early morning sun was already blocked by the tradesmen huts and market banners. The center-facing huts stared down at him suspiciously. The fringe was aptly named for the way of life here. Most lived on the edge of poverty, and others preyed on that same poverty, all of which was centered on the market. The market was unusually crowded, and the traders were out in mass. Some yelled above the others, holding fish and weaponry and clothing. Others carefully guarded their wares, eyeing customers as the buildings did, suspiciously. Shaw flashed a half-hearted smile under his hood. A large scar running the length of his face to the bottom of his neck ached in response. It was a painful reminder of bestowing trust where it was not earned. He moved towards the western side of the market, used a handful of silver coins to purchase a small deerskin water bag, and sat in the archway of a crumbling church, one of many on the fringe. Shaw contemplated the surge of people in the market and remembered a great barge was to arrive today from the Far East, carrying refugees, trade spice, and other goods. He was not interested in these things. What he needed was information.